This is Alan Karpik with the esteemed Tom Dienhart. That's a good introduction for you for a Saturday morning. But on our Saturday morning chat, we thank all the folks that have been downloading this weekly. And Tom and I have more fun doing this than maybe you have listening to it. But we appreciate it. I want to thank our sponsors, too. And that, of course, is First Source Bank, Sixth Street Dive, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, East End Grill, Charter's Team Remax Ability Plus. And we also want to mention our sponsors that are still doing carryout in the Lafayette area during this COVID-19 crisis, certainly Arnie's and Bruno's. Brad Cohen and the Big O at Bruno's are great, still doing carryout. Whitaker Inn as well, doing that great carryout, a new sponsor to Golden Black. And today's topic, Tom, a fun one, at least for me, and is the best players, first and second team, and we're going to miss somebody, I'm sure, but the best players we've ever seen in Mackey Arena. Of course, Mackey Arena opened on December the 2nd, 1967. And I know we tend to show our age in this deal because we look at some of the older guys, but kind of hard to not skew it that way in some of the names. But let's start with you, Tom. I'm gonna start with your second team. Who do you see?
Well, I tell you what. One goes back to my college days, Alan, and that was I'll never forget Scott Skiles coming.
Oh yeah, gosh, I forgot about him. See, there you go. I've already missed one.
1982, Plymouth, Indiana. The Pilgrims, of course, won the state championship. You know, you could probably tell the story about how the Gene Cady recruitment of Scott Skiles, what happened there. But, you know, he got in some trouble, too. I remember off the Corvus and Drudge. I remember the fans yelling, "Go to jail, Skiles," and "You and the Sun." And the deafening roar, and Skiles just a cold stone killer, you know, just hit draining shots left and right. The ultimate warrior, a tough guy. And he just always resonates with me how he played and how tough he was. And he sure was good in that arena when I saw him in school. And you know, one other guy now, when I was in high school, this guy may not have been obviously one of the greatest players ever, but the sight of watching 7'4" Randy Brewer come on the Mackey Arena court, ripping off those sweatpants, seeing the legs that looked like they were 2 miles long and those short shorts. You know, Brewer was pretty good. He was an NBA player for a number of years.
Yep.
And I'll just never forget, you know, Randy Brewer, and he was always a force back in the day, of course, Alan, when big men really mattered, right?
Yeah, different game.
Different game now. And, you know, another guy when I was younger, I know if you missed him coming to town in the mid-70s with Ricky Green and Phil Harbert.
You're 3 for 3 here, 4 for 4 guys that aren't on my list that could have been. But, yes, great pick.
Special. Ronnie Lester on that 1980 Iowa team, Alan.
Yeah.
That was the last Iowa team. If you can believe this, that's the last time Iowa even won. And they actually, I'm wrong, the year before I won the Big Ten title in 79. They haven't even won a year of the Big Ten title since 1979. Of course, Lester took Iowa to the Final Four in Market Square Arena the same year Purdue went, of course, for the last time in 1980. Great, great player. Iowa's had so many great teams over the years. And then a little bit more, I'm calling this contemporary, Alan.
Yeah.
My contemporary guys 25 years ago, Chris Webber. The linchpin of the same Fab Five. You go with Juwan Howard, you know, Jalen Rose, and the big three of the Fab Five. But Chris Webber, I mean, what more can you say? Birmingham, Michigan, real special player.
Your list now. I have one crossover there, and I'll release that a little bit later. But Scott Skiles, absolutely. I mean, my gosh, he came in. Yeah, he had a little cocaine issue, and I can remember some of the students having little bags of sugar in that game. And I remember that 1985 game because Purdue lost, and you know some other guys we're going to name here. Roy Tarpley was a great player, and that Michigan team in 85 comes into Mackey Arena, the Michigan team. But Purdue lost back-to-back games in the 85 season at home against Michigan State and Michigan back when they had travel partners, as you remember. You always played Michigan and Michigan State. And Scott Skiles absolutely, drove a nail in Purdue's heart. But they had another very, very good guard, Jay Vincent's brother, Sam Vincent, who was also an extremely good player and I think a very good pro as well. But, I remember Skiles and the story, of course, Purdue recruited Mac Gaddis did not take Skiles. I was a basketball manager at the time. They were interested in Skiles, but made the decision for whatever reason that Mac Gaddis was going to be their guard of choice. And Scott Skiles was just a phenomenally cantankerous, but like you said, nerves of steel, but just would beat you. And he did that against Purdue several times, had some great games. But I love your list. Randy Brewer was good. Ronnie Lester had some knee injury issues, but was certainly one of the greats to appear in Mackey. But I'll go with my list here. My second team, Ron Harper, 1985. That's 84, actually, was the game, the 84-85 season. Harper comes into Mackey Arena. And again, you have to cross this list a little bit because, you know, was it the best performance or was it the best player? And Harper obviously was a great pro. We're watching a little bit of his stuff on the Michael Jordan 1997-98 Bulls team with Harper playing with Jordan and company. But he came in with the Miami of Ohio team in 84 and beat Purdue soundly in Mackey Arena in that year. Then Kevin McHale. Kevin McHale came in a couple of those Blizzard games. Can you imagine a team with Kevin McHale, Michael Thompson, Ray Williams, Osborne Lockhart, and they didn't even win the Big Ten? Now, they got in trouble, too, with the NCAA, but Kevin McHale certainly was really good. A guy named also Michael Thompson, I mentioned that. The Thompson did not have great games in his games in Mackey, but I always loved him. What's that?
Was Trent Tucker on those games?
Oh, yeah. No, Trent Tucker was a little bit later. Trent Tucker was 81, 82 when they won the Big Ten Championship in 82. Trent Tucker was the starting guard for that team. But the great thing about Michael Thompson is he's from the Bahamas, and he had those little tassels on his shoes. He was a load at 6'10", but Purdue did a pretty good job at him, beating him. And again, the classic, we talk about that great Blizzard game in 1978 when the game was moved back a couple days. He was just 5-for-19 in that game. And again, I'm gonna say is I have the advantage of looking this stuff up, and I get Tom Blind on these shows, so I had looked that up. But another guy too, Scott May, Indiana. I even though you know May actually was infamous for Indiana fans, was he broke his wrist in the 1975 game in a game where he kind of got hurt. I heard it up against, I guess, against the rim, and it really cost Indiana a chance of back-to-back undefeated seasons and national championships. Arguably, the Hoosiers didn't win it in 75. They were beaten by Kentucky in the Elite Eight, and then, of course, won it all in 76. But May had just a solid player, and it's hard not to put him on my list. And the other one is probably as much performance-driven as any, is Evan Turner, a game against Rob Hummel. When Rob Hummel went for almost 30 points in the first half, as I recall, Evan Turner came back in the second half and beat the Boilermakers and Rob Hummel's team, and I believe it was 2010, 32 points. And again, not necessarily as great a pro, but maybe that was more performance-related, but he was really, really something in that game, and a game that left a huge mark. I mean, I remember running into Evan Turner's mom out in the hallway after the game, because he had a big thing that said Evan Turner's mom. I didn't know her personally. We had the nicest conversation. He said, "Man, your son was unbelievable tonight," and he was, in a game that Purdue lost in the second half after having a great performance. But Purdue went back and beat Ohio State on the road a little bit later that year. All right, Tom, I'm going to give you you can go to your first team and your picks there.
Yeah, boy, I need to just real quick on Ohio State. You think of the players that matriculated through Columbus, Ohio the last 30, 40, 50 years. You know, Greg Oden, Mike Conley, Clark Kellogg, Scooney Penn. You can go on and on with a laundry list of great.
Kelvin Ranzi. See, and he's not even on my list, which shows up my credibility. But it's and he played in Mackey and was a great player. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, again, last week, you know, I talked to Jerry Cecil last week for something. He talked to me out about he went down the roll call of point guards in the Big Ten when he was in college, and it was an incredible run of guys. And a couple of those guys you already talked about, they were all Big Ten point guards during his era in the mid to late 70s. Unreal talent in the Big Ten back then.
Oh, yeah.
For me, you got to start with Dirk Magic, right?
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough, I was an eighth grader, I think, in 78, 79. And, of course, we always had season tickets. And Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson in Mackey Arena. It's almost hard for me to even fathom that really did happen. But
yeah,
both those guys, especially Larry Bird, of course, being from Indiana State, not a conference opponent, Purdue just happened to have them on the schedule. Of course, played them 2 years in a row. Bird beat them two times, of course, and Terre Haute them back up in West Lafayette. And, of course, you know, it seems like, well, you really speak to this too. Purdue had some nice success against Magic Johnson. And then, yeah, how about Isaiah Thomas? You know, Alan, some people think he was the greatest player Bob Knight ever had, and obviously that's a mouthful, but I think you can make the case. Isaiah was there just 2 years, of course, led into the 1981 national title there in Philadelphia. So Isaiah Thomas and another IU player, Talbert Saney, I think he's still the Big Ten's all-time leading scorer, if I'm not mistaken. Special player at Evansville, Indiana, I believe. And flying the line, Nick Anderson. You could pick two or three of those guys, but I just never forget watching those guys and Nick Anderson and their high wire rep. Yeah, Lou Duhensen had special players, and that Purdue Illinois series always had a little bit extra juice to it. And again, they had some great battles over the years. But again, Nick Anderson, part of that flying line team.
Oh yeah, great player.
1988-89, of course, got to the Final Four in Seattle. Great player.
Yeah, it's good because it's really – because even though we have about 5 years apart, 4 or 5 years apart in age, it's we've got some different names. And every guy you mentioned is absolutely deserving of being on that list. You know, and Bird, you know, actually – and I could – the one story on Bird, and of course, he is on my first team, is that Bird actually is a sophomore. It was Larry and Harry's show, Larry Bird, Harry Morgan. And they came in a game in 1976-77 season – and in a memorable game that I missed. I was so mad because I had the flu, and I'm not making fun of the flu these days or any virus. I had something, stayed home, did not get, I had listened to that game on the radio feeling awful, but Bird had, I think, 27 points in that game. Purdue won that game pretty easily at home, and that was in Bird's sophomore year. Then Bird, of course, you talk about the junior year in Terre Haute when ISU whipped Purdue bad. And then Bird comes back in 79. Did not have a great game. Had 22 points and like 10 rebounds, but had a bunch of free throws at the end. And Indiana State beat Purdue in the route to its undefeated season. So definitely that. Magic Johnson, though, again, Johnson did have good games at Purdue. I know he had 26 points in a game as his freshman year. Michigan State won the Big Ten championship, I believe, and went to the Elite Eight that year. Johnson had, I think, 26 points. That was the game, as we talked about, the Cole strike was played on Thursday afternoon, and I can't claim that I saw that game. I did see about the last minute or so of the game. They had a guy named Greg Kelser, obviously extremely good player at that time, and they were just loading up for the next year. And, of course, Purdue beat Magic Johnson on Arnett Holman's great shot to 52-50, and Johnson did not have a great game that game as well, but still, you knew what you were in the midst of greatness. I had Chris Webber on my first team. I had never seen a guy in that game in 1993, in January of 93. I've never seen a team like that, I guess, and that's probably a little bit of a misstatement because I obviously saw UCLA come into Mackey, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But Weber goes for 22-14, just the biggest hands I've ever seen, and a guy that could just get the ball off the backboard, dish it out, and run like the wind. He was just absolutely amazing. David Thompson is another one, obviously from North Carolina State, a game played at Purdue. It was kind of in the middle of the Big Ten season, January 26, 1974. And we've talked about this before. Purdue had a great defender at that time, a guy by the name of Jerry Nichols from Greenwood, Indiana, a really good player. And he had a nose mask or a mask because he'd broken his nose 5 days earlier against Michigan and Campy Russell and Steve Grody and company in a great comeback from Purdue. Purdue plays him in Mackey Arena on that Saturday. It was a kind of a non-conference game in the middle of conference play. Nichols holds Thompson to 2 points in the first half. I think Thompson had 24 in the second. Nichols couldn't play as much due to that nose issue. Never saw a guy jump, but that team was loaded with Tom Burleson, Tim Stoddard, of course, from East Chicago, who pitched for the Cubs and for Baltimore in Major League Baseball for a long time. Monty Tau from Oak Hill, Converse, Indiana, great player as well. The fastest shooting free throw shooter I think I've ever seen. He was famous for grabbing the ball and shooting it in less than a second when the referee gave it to him, but hit a bunch of free throws. But I also have to put, when I have Thompson, Johnson, Larry Bird, I'm going to pick, I did cheat because Isaiah Thomas certainly should be on my list. He would be my sixth guy, but I forgot him the first time around. How can you do that? He was unbelievable. He gets called for traveling at the end of the 1981 game, one of the most famous games in the history of Mackey Arena. Purdue wins that game against the Indiana team that went on to win the national championship. Bob Knight chases the ref all the way out into the referee's room. I remember because I was his manager at the time, and pounds on the door. He goes, Isaiah Thomas never travels. You know, they called him for traveling at the end. Kevin Stallings hits a game-winning free throw, but Thomas was just, you know, like I said, the consummate player in Bob Knight's system and had that edge to him. But I also have to, you know, I saw Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play in Mackey. And again, Chuck Davis and Roger Blaylock in that first game, December 2nd, 1967, did a great job defensively on him in relative terms. But he still had 19 rebounds, 17 points. Had the key outlet pass to a guy by the name of Bill Sweek. And Bill Sweek launches a 40-footer at the buzzer to beat Purdue. But it was unbelievable to see Mike Warren, Lucius Allen, Lynn Shackelford, all guys that could make that list. And then a guy by the name of Lou Alcindor who turned into Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Unbelievable to have your first game to have him in that building. But I want to talk about, because you and I offline had talked about some of the guys we haven't mentioned, the more contemporary guys. You mentioned a couple in Greg Oden and Mike Conley. Nick Anderson I certainly missed. Frank Kaminsky from Wisconsin, obviously now a great pro. Was still a self-made player and had a very good game in Mackey, as I recall, coming in and a guy that Purdue drove a stake through Purdue's heart when he didn't come to Purdue. Gary Harris, the son of Joy Holmes Harris, the great player, women's basketball player, who might belong on this list either, also is one of the great players to play in Mackey Arena on the women's side. But those are some of my more contemporary guys that could easily be on this list.
Yeah, you're exactly right. one guy that was, this is going back a little bit, but one last older guy that I was, one of my favorites as a kid that Jerry Ceesay talked about was Billy McKinney.
Oh, yeah, great player, Northwestern.
He's been playing the NBA for a long time. How about this guy, this is going back about 15 years, Alan, but the Illini team with Bruce Weber that lost like two games. That team, I think, was 39-2, I want to believe. Darren Williams, of course, James Augustine, Roger Pound, those guys, just an incredible collection of talent that Weber had over there at Illinois that came into Mackey Arena as well. You talked about Greg Oden, too. Special players, I mentioned Scoonie Penn. You got me thinking, too, of those 19 mid-80s Michigan teams that won back-to-back Big Ten titles with Antoine Joubert and Gary Grant. People forget about how good those Michigan teams were. Purdue couldn't get over the hump and beat those teams like 85 and 86 before they went back-to-back Big Ten titles. But those Michigan teams under Bill Frieder were tremendous. And a few years later, of course, Glenn Rice and company come in. So, just a lot of tremendous players have matriculated through Mackey Arena. Now, all this stuff we're watching now on Sunday night, the Last Dance, Michael Jordan's the greatest player ever. You talked about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I still think a case can be made for that guy being the greatest basketball player ever. For some reason, he always gets left out of the argument. But again, when you look at his body of work, even if you encompass high school and college, I challenge you to find anybody who's been better and more dominant than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as far as being a basketball player.
You know, and this list keeps – I keep now revising mine. But, yeah, Ramil Robinson wasn't too bad either. I mean, you know, a guy guy that played for Michigan and when the Wolverines won the national championship in 1989 and came running through Mackey Arena and beat Purdue badly that year. Though it was amazing that Purdue beat them certainly to win the Big Ten championship, clinch a undisputed Big Ten championship the year before. It's Gary Grant, Ramil Robinson, Terry Mills, Loy Vaught. Those are all unreal names. But I love the name. The one other guy I want to add, you know, that 2005 Illinois team with Bruce Weber. They not only they win in Mackey, they won in Mackey and clinched the Big Ten championship there. But D. Brown, fastest guy I think I've seen, had 27 points in that game. But you know, you think about Darren Williams, with a great pro he has been and was, those were remarkable players that could have easily been on our list of the great players. And I know we're missing people, but I think that
it was funny talking about Larry Bird real quick too on Indiana State. You remember his two sidekicks? One guy played in the NBA for quite a while, a guy named Carl Nix.
Yep, Carl Nix, little guard.
A guy named Alex Gilbert were just good sidekicks and really were big parts of that Sycamore team.
I loved Alex Gilbert only because he was a 29% free throw shooter. I thought that Nojel Eastern and him could go back and forth, but can you imagine shooting 29%? I think it was right around there. But a great, you know, they had that perfect blend. And that team that went to the whole way in 79, went to the final game. Neil Heaton, the guard also. Yeah. They just had the right blend of guys to go to that national championship game. Not enough against Michigan State, but another guy in that Michigan State team, Jay Vincent. We talked about his brother Sam. Jay Vincent was a terrific player. And I interrupted
Terry
you,
Donnelly.
Tom. Terry Donnelly.
Real quick, trivia for you. Okay, you know Weber, Rose, and Howard. Who are the other two members of the Fab Five?
Well, they're Ray Jackson and now I'm drawing a blank here because he was fast as anything.
Jimmy King. That's good trivia.
And Jimmy King, you know, again, I talk about that 93 game, Purdue and Michigan come together to play. Purdue ranked in the top 10, was undefeated at the time or lost just one game, I believe, heading into that game, and Michigan ranked third. And it was Weber versus Robinson the first time, and Michigan ends up winning that game by 10 points, 80-70. But what a great performance by Jimmy King just in those games with those guys. When you had – and Jimmy King wasn't a pro. I don't even know if he played in the league at all, but if he did, it was short-lived. But he, again, was that perfect blend because he was so fast. And they could get them on the break. And when you had Jalen Rose, which could have been on our list as well, and you had Juwan Howard, who could be on our list, and, of course, Chris Weber, probably as good a team as you'll ever see in Mackey Arena to come in. But, I loved Calvert Chaney, obviously a great player. Damon Bailey, who was a great college player. Was something to behold when he came into Mackey. Jimmy Jackson, who's a guy we both forgot. Jimmy Jackson, obviously from Ohio State, all Big Ten level player, very good pro for the Dallas Mavericks for years, and obviously you hear him on Fox and on the Big Ten Network. But Jimmy Jackson, Purdue beat them to get in the NCAA tournament when Ohio State was ranked second in the country. Matt Painter's sophomore or junior year. As I recall.
I think that's the one school out. Purdue now has a losing record against in the Big Ten. Always played Purdue tough. And you talked about Monty Tallis free throws.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. Remember Clark Kellogg would get the ball and he'd spin it out in front of him and bounce right back to him when he shot his free throws. That always kind of got the fans going. That was one unique free throw style that I still remember him taking that ball with both hands, spinning it in the reverse spin and bounce right back to him and catch it and then he'd shoot his free throw.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned Clark Kellogg because, again, a guy that actually left early. I love about Clark Kellogg, and he's a great person. I got to know him just a little bit. Sold insurance He made a bunch of money when he was in college, and just a complete forward thinker. He had the misfortune of missing a dunk or kind of airing a dunk. He got turned around. I remember in a game, I think in 81 maybe in Mackey Arena when Purdue beat Ohio State when Gene Katie's first year. But he turns around and thinks he's going to slam the ball and the rim wasn't there and he just throws it down. He was a terrific talent, you know, Herb Williams on those teams.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about Kelvin Ranzi. That was an extremely good Ohio State team. And, again, I know there's somebody out there. You keep mentioning guys, and I keep remembering.
You know, on electrolyte, one of my favorite three guys is Doug Lee, right?
Right,
When they played Illinois against Doug Altenberger.
Oh, yeah, great player.
It was a lot of fun watching those guys lock horns. And, you know, like I said, I talked about Illinois before. They had some tremendous players over the years. So, yeah, again, it's fun to think back. And as you said, the more you talk, the more you remember these guys.
Well, now you've spurred on B.J. Armstrong, who's a great pro for a long time with the Bulls.
How about Les Jepson?
Yeah, Les Jepson.
From Bo Bell, South Dakota, I think.
Yep, and you had Roy Marble on that team. But you did, now I'm drawing a blank because Doug Altenberger and Bobby Hanson, two players that were kind of very similar to one another. Of course, Hanson played at Iowa and is still, I believe, on their broadcast crew. But Doug Altenberger, a guy that Purdue died for. They thought they were going to get him to come to Purdue from Central Illinois. And they got Doug Lee a little bit later, and Doug Lee was a terrific player. But Doug
player.
Altenberger was – and Ephraim Winters, you talk about – and I'm drawing
Will
a
Hamilton.
Yeah, Douglas. What was the – Bruce Douglas, too.
Bruce Douglas.
And Bruce Douglas is a guy – I remember Purdue holding Altenberger, Bruce Douglas, Ephraim Winters, the 85 Illini team – who was ranked, I think, fifth in the country. They Purdue held him to 34 points in a game there in Mackey Arena. But that was a loaded team because the year before, Purdue had beaten that team with Altenberger and Bruce Douglas with Purdue with Jim Rowinski in 84, wins that game, one of the most memorable games in the history of Mackey Arena, 59-55 win, and Purdue gets a share of the Big Ten championship. And that was the game that got Jim Rowinski in Sports Illustrated as the Prince of Pecs. Which he was an amazing game.
Real quick, Alan. You know, one school, Wisconsin. Their history is more contemporary as far as being good, right? When I was in college growing up, I think Purdue beat them like 20 years in a row.
Wisconsin, that's
Purdue.
Right.
But getting into the 90s, got to mention Michael Finley.
Oh yeah.
Tracy Webster, of course. How about this is going to kill Purdue fans? Rashard Griffith.
Yep. Absolutely, and you looked at some of those Wisconsin teams, and there were some others, other great players from Wisconsin that came through. I go back to the days of Kim and Kerry Hughes, the twins, and that was Wisconsin beats Purdue in 1972 with those guys, and then doesn't win again at Purdue, I think, until 2000.
Yeah.
I want to say 2005, if that is right. My memory may be a little bit off. But Kim and Kerry Hughes, the 6'11", 7 foot. They both, I think, played in the NBA a little bit. But they were absolutely a team that could beat Purdue at that time. But memorable names and all guys that made an impact in their visits to Mackey Arena.
No doubt. Like I said, a lot of fun. And I could probably, as you know, when I get with you, Al, I could do this for 8 hours straight just talking about.
Well, I'm trying to think because we're missing a key player, an all Big Ten level player, if not Big Ten MVP for Wisconsin early on, and I'm drawing a blank here. But
the team that went to the Final Four with Dick Bennett didn't have many great players at all. That was when they had the kid named Penny, I think, from Australia.
Yep. Who absolutely killed Purdue.
But when I was in school growing up, though, I don't remember. Wisconsin had nobody of real ilk that I recall. Corey Blackwell.
Yeah, but that's not who I'm thinking of, and it's a game. It's a name that. Tucker. What was his name?
Orlando Tucker.
Yeah, and was an All Big Ten level player and one of the best to play. They had a lot of, they were obviously some great teams and some great coaches, coaching by not only Dick Bennett, but who got it all started for them, but Bo Ryan as well. All right, we got to cut this off because if we don't, we'll run out of material for down the road. No, we won't. We'll never run out of material. But I want to thank our sponsors. First, I want to thank you, Tom. It's always fun doing this. But First Source Bank, Sixth Street Dive, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue West, and Follett's Purdue Bookstores, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability, plus also Home Field Sports or Home Field Apparel, who've been a new sponsor with us on our podcast, does vintage Purdue apparel. And of course, I want to remind folks, Arnie's and Bruno's, Whitaker Inn, and 6th Street Dive, all doing carry out in the Lafayette area. Smee's Place, north side of Indianapolis, too, have been doing carry out during this pandemic that we're all trying to deal with. But Tom, we'll do this again next week. We'll come up with a new subject to talk about. It's endless from that standpoint, and that's one thing that we have time to do is think about these kind of things right now. So, Tom, have a great week, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Alan. Be good, buddy.